Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Liberty Bigly podcast. Just a reminder, this is the B-side podcast of my regular podcast, the Liberty Weekly podcast. Today, I'm coming at you with some thoughts about hockey. Today was the game five of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Boston Bruins and the St. Louis Blues. And I wanted to make a little parallel here, as the episode title will suggest, that hockey is the libertarianism of the sports world. And there's several parallels that I'm going to make here. And I guess I wanted to say that this B-side podcast I initially had kind of created to let me talk about anything I wanted and not just libertarianism, because I do think that, okay, as a caveat to my last episode, and I apologize for this aside, as a caveat to my last episode about are there too many libertarian podcasts? And if the answer was no, my answer was no, there are not too many libertarian podcasts. I do want to add a caveat to that, that I do think that there are a lot of libertarian academic and policy podcasts, whereas there are not very many libertarian culture podcasts. And there are a few libertarian culture podcasts out there, but the majority of them focus on talking about policy and economics and all that jazz, which is fine. But I've kind of pigeonholed my show, the Liberty Weekly podcast, into being a policy show, talking about those kinds of issues. And on this show, I should be able to talk about things other than libertarianism, or tie certain things into libertarianism, or just make it more about culture and not just policy. But there is a libertarian kind of tie-in in these thoughts. So, yes, I believe that hockey is, and I'll make this case, that hockey is the libertarianism of the sports world because, one, hockey is very eclectic. Most people are, well, most people in the United States are American football fans, or in the world, a lot of people are soccer fans. We call it soccer here in the United States, but a lot of people are soccer fans. And I think that, I couldn't even tell you what the second biggest sport in the United States is. Oddly enough, it might actually be NASCAR. I think it might be NASCAR if you consider motorsports a sport at all. But I remember recalling a few years ago, maybe a decade ago, that NASCAR was actually incredibly popular in the United States. But so you have, I think you probably have American football being the most popular sport in the US. Then you have basketball, maybe baseball, and college football too. So there's a lot of people that are kind of in that world. But in another world, you get hockey fans. And hockey, I guess, generally is a smaller sport. The fan base is relatively small, but that fan base is incredibly passionate about hockey and incredibly knowledgeable about hockey. And to make that parallel is that, you have people who identify as either Republican or Democrat. A lot of them don't know two shits about politics or policy or anything like that. They just have their own believies, and that's what they believe. Well, the average libertarian, and I'll be speaking in a lot of collectivist generalizations here, with the caveat that I am an individualist, but just for our purposes here, lots of libertarians are well read on certain subjects. They are educated. They know their stuff. I would say a larger percentage of libertarians know their stuff, whereas a smaller percentage of Democrats and Republicans actually do know their stuff. The parallel being that hockey players, they know a lot about hockey. They grew up playing hockey. Hockey's in the family. They know the inside baseball as a term. And maybe this might be true with the baseball community. I'm not a part of that community, so I couldn't speak too much about that. I do know people, I actually didn't know many people that were into baseball until just this summer. Some of my coworkers are into it. So this could apply just as well to baseball, but this is what I notice in the specifically NHL, but also the hockey community. But so you have a lot of people who grew up playing hockey. They know their stuff, they know it inside and out. They're very passionate about it. A lot of people, hockey is a lifestyle for a lot of people. And this might just be growing up in Minnesota, but in the NHL and through that marketing, you get a lot of this feel, this warm and fuzzy feelies about how, we live for the winter and we got out and we played pickup hockey all the time. And when it was summertime, we were training for hockey, and hockey is just what we do. It's the family, it's a way of life. And like I said, it could be that way for other sports too, but particularly I've noticed in the hockey fan base, this is true. And a lot of hockey fans are like this. On another note, and maybe this might also just be my experience in Minnesota, and I do have great friends in Minnesota, but one thing I've noticed, especially running through the Minnesota Wild fan base, which I've been a part of, is that people in Minnesota think they're the greatest hockey fans in the entire world. They call this marketing gimmick the state of hockey. At risk of sounding incredibly arrogant, Minnesota hockey fans, they think their state is the best at hockey. They think their crap doesn't stink. And that's just kind of my experience with Minnesota hockey fans in general. It might just be Minnesota, but I think, like a lot of libertarians, hockey fans tend to be a little elitist too. And that might just be Minnesota hockey fans too, but they don't, I guess maybe they don't kind of cannibalize their own in the way that libertarians do, because a libertarian's favorite thing to do is call other libertarians not libertarian. But that could be the point. I mean, Canadians, maybe Canadians, they're not quite so elitist, but this is just some of the observations that I've had, especially with people in Minnesota. Like I said, it could just be reserved to Minnesota. So yes, there is some elitism there. There's also inside baseball in hockey. There's inside baseball in baseball too. But in hockey, there's inside baseball to the point where if you know Canadians or if you know people who are really into hockey, they develop their own slang and their own way of saying things, like cellies is celebrations after you score a goal. If some of the things are like a pylon is someone who doesn't move on the ice. They're just like a cone on the ice. I'm trying to think, pull out all my hockey slang stops now. It's hard to do on the spot. But they have their own phrasing for things. Chirping is on the ice where you chirp someone, you just chirp them. You talk smack on the ice like that. And in the same way, a lot of libertarians have their own lingo in ways that Republicans and Democrats don't have their own lingo. Like we would call people a statist, or we have the Murray Rothbard inside baseball, or Republicans or libertarians are kind of like that as well. We have our own inside lingo that maybe I haven't really noticed too much with progressives. Well, progressives might have it, but I haven't noticed it too much with just your mainstream beltway Republicans and Democrats either. And I'm not sure if Democratic Socialist Berniites have the same kind of lingo. Of course, when you get to the radical wings of both sides, you might have more so of this. But I think with each example that I'm giving of how hockey is like libertarianism, or hockey being the libertarianism of sports, we really drill down to that comparison in ways that don't apply in every single element to the other political persuasions, perhaps. So the next thing I will say is that hockey itself has been very mistreated by those who hold the most power over it. And for example, the NHL is terrible, absolutely terrible at marketing and fostering hockey as a sport in general. And I've heard people say this on hockey podcasts that I've listened to, that the NHL is woefully behind on player policies. There is a big, I've heard that there's a big cocaine problem in the NHL. There are all sorts of different image issues that are associated with the NHL. The NHL also has a very strict code of conduct for their players and an internal culture where your players are not allowed to have their own personality during interviews. And of course, there's exceptions like Brizgalov, who's very famous for giving ridiculous locker room interviews, and certain other players. But generally speaking, this is an NHL policy from what I know, is that players are not allowed to have their own personality in interviews, whereas the NBA really fosters the individuality of their own players and allows them to market themselves in that way. The NHL is just very kind of old-fashioned like that, where they try to tamp down on that. So those are a few examples, but Gary Bettman is the general manager, or he's the commissioner of the NHL, and he's universally hated by a lot of people, which is really funny. Roger Goodell is kind of the same way, except I think it could be argued that Roger Goodell is actually good at cashing in for the NFL and making, obviously, the NFL is one of the most popular. I mean, it's one of the most popular leagues in the United States, probably the most popular league in the United States. So, in the same way, libertarianism, the Libertarian Party is not the greatest bearer of the libertarian brand. It's not the greatest at fostering libertarianism. It's not the greatest at marketing and promoting new libertarians, even though they will say we're the fastest growing political party in the United States. They're just not good at getting to the heart and soul and marketing exactly what libertarianism is and fostering the atmosphere in which libertarianism itself can survive and thrive and propagate itself. And in the same way, I think the NHL is not really good at cashing that in. The NHL is not good at creating new hockey fans. And it's not really the best at conveying exactly what hockey is as a sport and what it means to people. That doesn't mean that they don't try, but I think that a lot of their attempts to do so come across as being ham-fisted. Another way that the NHL is not very good at promoting its own brand is that the TV deals aren't as good. NBC Sports Network is where you can watch a lot of the nationally televised games, and it's terrible. I hate it. I hate their announcers. Pierre Maguire is an announcer that is on NBC Sports Network, and he does most of the biggest games. And they always have him. He does every single freaking game, and he's irritating as hell. He talks like Yoda, and he structures all of his sentences backwards. And he's in the NHL video games too. And I have to turn the commentary off. I have to mute it because it's so obnoxious. And he says the stupidest crap and uses, like, just watch a NBC Sports Network broadcast. Watch the Stanley Cup final. It's on Sunday night. I think July 9th is when it's on next. So go ahead, tune in. It's a game when it's the deciding game. It could be. It's a game six and a 7-game series with the Blues up 3-2. So the Stanley Cup could be won, and you'll see what I mean with Pierre Maguire. He's terrible. And they have all these play-by-play announcers that just are not very good, and they're not good bearers of what hockey is. Mike Milbury was like kind of a goon-like player, I believe, in the 70s and the 80s, and he's an announcer, and he just doesn't do quite a good job. And they have the same announcers too. There's n they don't have a whole lot of talent. They're not the greatest play-by-play people. And so parallel, you could say that libertarians, we do not have the best, at least in politics. There are tremendous figures in the liberty movement itself, but a lot of peers right now might be saying, well, of course we don't want great politicians because, we're against politics. We're the antithesis of politics. Yeah, okay, whatever. I get that. But it would help if we had people more of our persuasion and flavor. But right now, we have imperfect politicians in the field, an imperfect Rand Paul. Thomas Massie is awesome, but probably also imperfect. Justin Amash, imperfect bearer of libertarian and principles. That's not even mentioning the Libertarian Party and the lackluster candidates that they have selected. Gary Johnson, there, Bill Weld, terrible figures. So I think that's a decent parallel there. And so the other thing is that hockey, I believe, is objectively the greatest sport to watch on television. And likewise, I think that libertarianism is the greatest political philosophy, objectively speaking. So, turning back to hockey is fun to watch because, of course, my personal bias is coming through here because I love hockey, but it is fast, it's exciting, there is constant action. Not to say that every game is great because some of them are low scoring, but from the perspective of someone who likes sports or maybe even doesn't like it, it is fast. It's fun to watch because there's a lot of action, there's a lot of hitting, it's violent, there are fights that could break out, and there used to be more fights, but okay, let's take a step back just for a quick second. Hockey fans are mostly liberal pussies, which makes it funny because hockey players are super tough and the sport is rough. And it's, I don't know, like, it surprises me how liberal hockey fans are. Maybe it's a Canadian thing, but also a lot of American fans that I've run into are also liberal. And it could just be the whole Minnesota thing too. But it is fun to watch. There used to be a lot of fighting. It's kind of fading out now with the concussion stuff. But there still is a chance that fighting could break out at any time. And that's a lot of fun to watch. There is incredible skill that it takes. You have to be in incredible shape to be a hockey player because it's hard to skate. I mean, you try skating at full speed for, a regular shift is probably players will go out on the ice for maybe a minute at a time. A minute could be pretty long too. So it depends on what kind of role you're playing in the game. You get top minutes, you could be playing, I don't know, 15 minutes in a 60 minute game just as, as a player. Some defensemen like Ryan Suter for the Wilds, he will play way too long, maybe 25 minutes in a 60-minute game. I hope that my numbers are right here, but so it takes a lot of physical strength, and endurance, and hockey players get the crap kicked out of them. Like they'll play through the entire Stanley Cup playoffs with broken bones. Zdeno Chara is a player for the Bruins who got hit in the face with the puck and it broke his jaw. And that happened in game three of the Stanley Cup finals that are going on right now. And he played today with a broken jaw. And so in a lot of those ways, oh, it also takes incredible skill. I mean, just if you watch some stick handling videos, like when Patrick Kane did he did a GoPro video back in the heyday when the Blackhawks were winning all the Stanley Cups. And I mean, just the talent involved is incredible. So in a lot of ways, I think objectively, the product that you see out on the ice, the sport is objectively the greatest sport to watch on television. The most exciting sport. You know, you could make arguments about, well, you know, yes, they are pretty talented, but there's other sports that require a lot of talent, like soccer players have an insane level of talent. But I mean, overall, objectively, I believe that hockey is the most exciting sport to watch. There's constant action, there's not too many commercial breaks, like football, where most of the game is commercials. And I think there's only like 5 minutes of playing time, like 5 minutes of time that the players are actually playing the game on the field for American football. It's insane. Soccer is quite comparable, but with soccer, there is tons of like moving the ball across the pitch. And I guess maybe if you have to really like soccer to think that that's exciting. I like soccer, but I think that soccer is pretty boring to watch in a lot of cases because a lot of it is just moving the ball up and down the pitch. So the product objectively out on the field is the best. And in the same way, I think my podcast is a my the Liberty Weekly podcast is a testament to this, but libertarian philosophy is objectively, I think, the best political product or the best political philosophy that is out there. But it also drives it home too that despite having the best product out there, hockey is not the most popular sport in the United States. And I think I already kind of touched on how the people who are supposed to be marketing and fostering hockey in the sports world are failing it in a certain way because they're not very good at protecting the product and marketing it to people. I think that the same is true for libertarianism. However, there's another piece that I forgot to mention too, is that there's a learning curve with hockey, and a lot of people don't really fully understand hockey. A lot of people don't know what icing is, or they don't understand all the history behind it, or the players. There's a pretty steep learning curve. And likewise with libertarianism, I think there's a very steep learning curve, and perhaps at least maybe this might not be 100% true, but I don't think that hockey fans are necessarily unapproachable in some ways that libertarians are with trying to bring new people in, because hockey fans are generally very open and very glad to, in a very friendly and patient way, share their love of the sport and knowledge of the sport with others, I think. Perhaps in Minnesota, fans could be a bit standoffish, but no, I don't think that's quite the case with hockey, that the fans are standoffish, but they might be a little bit, fans might be a little bit, sorry, I lost my train of thought here. So that might just be a Minnesota thing, but yeah, I think I just wanted to put my thoughts down a little bit. I think it's an interesting parallel to make between libertarianism and hockey being the libertarianism of the sports world. But let me know what you think. Hopefully, this was an entertaining parallel here. And go watch the Stanley Cup Finals, and if you're a sports person, that is. So you know how to support the Liberty Weekly podcast. That's at patreon.com/libertyweekly. Also, sign up for my email list that includes this show at libertyweekly.net/email. Don't forget about my Amazon affiliate link at libertyweekly.net/Amazon. Do all your regular Amazon shopping there. Also, join us on Discord at libertyweekly.net/discord. And I'm also on Reddit now. You can join the Reddit community at reddit.com/r/libertyweekly. So thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Liberty Bigly podcast. Have a great day, you guys. Peace.